just our studies are going well Sunday morning and Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday evening. Branches meets at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. It's very well attended and very well led by Peggy Prophet. Wednesday evening we have a Bible study that continues at the Meisner's house. I'm leading that, and we're studying women in the Bible, and we've started with Esther, and that's going well. And on Sunday morning, we've been led by Tammy through a series from Andy Stanley, Follow, Believe, and Obey. Simple, it's called Simple. And next Sunday, Tim Grant will be starting a study on trust, and we're using the book of Job, trusting during difficult times. And Tim is going to lead us through a study on that. Other announcements there are in the other bulletin for midweek programs. But I do want to draw your attention to In From the Cold. That's a ministry here that operates in Newmarket that looks after the homeless, and it opens up its doors on the coldest nights of the year for people who have no place to stay. And they do a fundraiser each year called The Coldest Night of the Year, and this year it's February the 21st. And the information's there in the bulletin. If you'd like to participate in that, this is our opportunity now as a church to show our name, if you like, and show our face to the community by doing fundraising for this very needy cause in our community. So it's there in the bulletin. Please talk to me afterwards. I've got the forms if you can do some fundraising for that. And just a reminder, our annual meeting is on February the 22nd after the service at 1 o'clock. Going to ask the praise team now to come and lead us in our time of worship.
Good morning. This morning I'm going to read from Psalm 145. I will honor you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Lord, you are great. You are really worthy of praise. No one can completely understand how great you are. Parents will praise your works to their children. They will tell about your mighty acts. They will speak about your glorious majesty. I will spend time thinking about your miracles. They will speak about the powerful and wonderful things you do. I will talk about the great things you have done. They will celebrate your great goodness. They will sing with joy about your holy acts. The Lord is gracious. He is kind and tender. He is slow not to get angry. He is full of love. The Lord is good to all. He shows deep concern for everything he has made. Lord, every living thing you have made will praise you. Your faithful people will praise you. They will tell about your glorious kingdom. They will speak about your power. Then all people will know about the mighty things you have done. They will know about the glorious majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom that will last forever. Your rule will continue for all time to come. The Lord is faithful and will keep all of his promises. He is loving toward everything he has made. Worship his majesty. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Take a moment. Quiet your mind and still your heart. What does that mean to you? And why are you here? Here we are, Lord, to worship you. You are altogether lovely and altogether worthy, and we praise you. We come today to give you our praise. We need you here with us, because it's only through you, Jesus, that we can be changed. Lord, we give you complete and utter control. Give us your peace from the inside out. Lord, it is our desire of our hearts today to bring you praise and to give you control. Consume us, Lord, with your spirit, and touch each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here this morning to give you worship and praise, to praise your holy name. Receive now from us these our tithes and our offerings. We pray you will multiply them in our hands and will use them rightly and diligently for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Let us, once again, as we did at the opening, gather our hearts and our minds and be totally present with our Heavenly Father. Father, we gather here today to bring worship and glory to your name. We worship your majesty. We ask you to consume us from the inside out. We ask you to be present among us by your Holy Spirit as we've gathered here to worship. But part of our worship, Lord, is to bring our prayers and our supplications to you. We give you thanks and praise for all your blessings towards us, but we ask you to continue to bless us. Lord, in particular, I ask you to bless our homes, bless our families, to bless our marriages, Lord, to bless those who are struggling in their relationships, those who are struggling in their finances, those who are struggling with health. Lord, we ask that those who do have these struggles and challenges going on today will feel your presence. Even here this morning, we'll feel the very real presence of a loving Father who puts his arms around our shoulders and says, come to me, and I will give you rest. So if you're here this morning and there is a struggle and a burden on your heart, bow your heart, bow your head before your God and ask him to help you. Ask him to come alongside and comfort you. He is your loving Heavenly Father, and he desires nothing more than to have you, his child, in his arms. Lord, we pray for those who are sick and have been hurt in this time. Lord, we pray for Shirley. Lord, pray for her bump on her head. Lord, we pray that will heal quickly and she will recover well. Lord, we pray for George Meisner's mother who's having surgery tomorrow. Lord, we pray that the surgery will go well and that she will recover and George will be comforted himself and he'll be a comfort to his mother. Lord, we pray for Al McPherson, known to some here but not to all, who has suffering some more sickness, lives in Belleville now, former member and leader of our church. Lord, we pray you'll comfort him too and bring him to health and restoration. Lord, we pray for our community. We pray particularly for those who are homeless and poor in our community. Lord, we're reminded with the In From the Cold program, the coldest night of the year. Lord, we pray that we and others in the church community will sponsor this and respond to this call very quickly and very powerfully and make an impact on our community. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling at that in this economy. Lord, we just pray that there will be means and resources to help them. And now each one of you have something to give God thanks for. You also have something to ask him for. Each one of us. There's not one here doesn't have a burden on their heart this morning. The Lord is present. He hears our unspoken prayers. Speak to him now in the quietness of this place. Father God, you have heard the prayers this morning of the men and women here, the young and the old. Is that Jim and Addie? Okay. All right. Father, we pray for Jim and Addie, Roy's brother and sister. And we ask you to protect them and heal them. And Lord, and give Roy peace in his heart over this incident. We pray in Jesus' name. The Lord has heard your prayer this morning. Lean into him during your daily struggles. He will hear you. He comes alongside you. He walks alongside you. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers this morning, for we have prayed them in Jesus' name. Amen. This is probably the biggest day of the year for sports fans. I know that some of you are just itching to get out and get into something like 9 hours of pre-game for a three-hour game. Okay. The thing about the team sports, of course, is the color of the jersey tells you which team you're on. And the teams, too, get into that by wearing the jerseys of their team. They paint their faces and they wear these funny hats and they carry flags. And that tells them what team they're on, what team they're cheering for. And a fan can hardly be wearing the colors of one team and cheering for the other team. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way it's played. And each team has its separate colors. I understand. I did a little bit of research. I'm not particularly a sports fan or a football fan at all. But New Anglian Patriots are nautical blue, red, silver, and white, and the Seahawks are bright green, silver, and blue. So it's not like they're red and blue and you can really distinguish them. They're different, but you have to know which team is which. You have to know which way the game is going. See, if they all went out there dressed the same and they were indistinguishable, you wouldn't know what was going on. You wouldn't know who was who and which direction they were going, because it would be very, very confusing. So the opposing teams must be distinguishable. We have to know who is playing for whom. We have to know who is on which team. And this is a problem in the spiritual world today, is that the world cannot see who is playing for what team. We can't know who are the purveyors of God's truth, God's eternal truth, and who is actually playing for the other side. Who are the imitators of God, as we spoke about last week, and who are not? And with us as disciples, if we call ourselves a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must show which team we're on by, if you like, the uniform that we wear. The way we appear to the world must be very clear and very distinguishable from the world around us. Otherwise, nobody knows what team we're on. Now, Paul uses lots of metaphors throughout his letters for this distinction between disciples of Jesus and the ways of the world. And these past few weeks, I've been working through Ephesians. Paul talks about putting off the old self. Put off, if you like, the old uniform, the colors of the old team. And we see this when there's trading going with some of the bigger players, that they do that symbolic putting on the jersey of the new team. They say, no, I'm now playing for the red team. I'm no longer playing for the blue team. So there's that idea of putting off the old self and putting on the new self, calling myself a team player now. I'm now going to be an imitator of God, to use last week's phrase. So the world can see, oh, you're wearing the God uniform. I expect to see you play like someone wearing the God uniform. Okay? So today, in today's text, Paul lays down a clear and unmistakable image for us to ponder as we walk this path of the new life in Christ. It's another image that he puts forth. It's a very practical thing in his day, but it's a bit of a metaphor for today. So I'm from in Corinthians. Now you're asking, going to ask, well, why are you jumping from Ephesians to Corinthians? It's an appropriate text for the day, but Corinthians was written from Ephesus. So there's our link. When Paul was in Ephesus with the Ephesian church, he wrote this letter to the church in Corinth. And those cities that we talked about at the very beginning of this series, those cities are all in what was then Asia Minor, Ephesus and Corinth and a bunch of other cities are in what was Asia Minor then. It's now the country of Turkey. And those cities are still there. They're still identifiable on the map and they're still there. But they have that historical New Testament reference. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 14 to 22. So Lord, I pray your blessing upon this reading of your word. Bless it to our hearts and our minds and to our lives. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. Paul speaking to new Christians, new believers. I don't want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Lord, bless the reading of this word. There's the metaphor. There's the dividing. There's the color of the teams. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part at the Lord's table and the table of demons. Very clear distinction. You've got to be on one team or the other. You've got to wear one jersey or the other. You're on the red team, you're on the blue team. You cannot be both. So these options are being laid clear and laid bare by Paul. Now at this time, of course, he is speaking about specifically the old pagan practices that many of these new believers would have been part of. Okay? They would have been part of pagan sacrifices and pagan worship, and they're coming over now to being disciples of Jesus, and he's trying to draw a line saying, no, that's part of your past life. You know, this idea, put on your new self, join the table of the Lord now. So he's saying to abstain from these practices, and his opening statement is flee from idolatry. Flee from worshipping false gods and false idols. And so we take that metaphor in and we say, well, what does that mean today? Yes, in Paul's day, it meant cooking meat, offering it to a wooden idol or a metal idol, and then consuming the meat as an act of worship. But we don't see that today in our culture and in our time. So what does it mean to us today to flee from idolatry? Are there other idols that we in fact effectively are worshipping instead of worshipping God? What is worship? Worship, surely, then, is spending time and resources on what you love the most. You want time with that particular thing or that particular person, and you seek ways to find them or it, and you spend time with them or it. That is your idol. That is what you're worshipping. You're spending time. Where you spend your time is where you spend your worship. If we're to be imitators of God, if we're going to put off the old ways and put on the new ways and walk this new path, then we're called to have an understanding of what we're worshipping. Paul's command to these early Christians was not to eat from the table of demons, that false worship, but to move over and eat from the table of the Lord. We cannot worship these idols in our life and worship God at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. To use Paul's metaphor again, you've got to choose which table you're eating from. You've got to choose which team you're on. And here's our problem. Our problem, we desire to live holy lives. And I'm sure most of you do. You consciously think about that in your prayer life and in your Bible reading life. You say, Lord, I do want to lead a good life. I want to be changed from the inside out, as our opening song calls us, to be changed from the inside out. We want to. We want to live as saints. We want to live holy lives. We want to change it in our soul and in our souls. But we find that we can't. We find we're faced with this like dilemma of wanting to do one thing, but we end up doing the other. We'd like to spend more time with the Lord, but we don't, for some reason. And it's not like this is new. Jesus knew this from his working with his disciples. He said, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Watch and pray. He says, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So there's an acknowledgement from Christ himself that our spirits may be willing, but our bodies are weak. And so we get drawn away from what we should be doing into what maybe we shouldn't be doing. So, for example, we see the poor and the lonely. We'd like to help. We know we should help. We wish somebody would help. But the comfort of our homes is more desirable. Just announced today about the coldest night of the year coming up. And you know in your heart you'd like to help. You'd like to be part of that because you know there are homeless people here living in Newmarket. And you'd like to be part of that program, raise a bit of money. But when the night comes round, I'd rather stay home. It's warmer at home. We'd like to spend more time in prayer and Bible reading. The quietness of an evening at home, if you have a quiet home. But there's my television show. I don't want to miss this episode. So I'll get to the Bible tomorrow, Lord. Promise. But we don't, do we? We've got a number of life group studies, Sunday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening. And we could have more people there. They're fairly full already, but it's good if more people could come. But to come out late on a Wednesday evening, or, you know, life at home is so comfortable. Yeah, I want to go, but I don't want to go. So we've got to make this choice. It's a choice. It's very interesting. We've been studying, or Tammy's been leading us through another study with Andy Stanley called Simple. And it's three simple steps: follow, believe, and obey. And many of us have got the follow bit down. We've got the believe bit down. But the obey bit is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Very, very challenging. But take heart. Take heart. This is the reality of living in this world, living on this planet. this tension about knowing what we should be doing and what we're actually doing. But once again, the voice of Jesus comes quietly into our ears. Follow me. Follow me. Day by day decision to wake up with the intention of following Jesus. It could be read like a command, like a sergeant major barking out, follow me, but it's not. It's not that at all. It's a gentle invitation, that soft whisper that Elijah heard. Follow me. Follow me. It's one-on-one, very personal, very intimate. Jesus comes alongside and says, follow me. It's an hour-by-hour, day-by-day decision. It's an invitation to participate in a different way of life now. As Jesus said, I said in one of the earlier messages, to take the yoke of Jesus, which means we yoke ourselves to Jesus. He's walking alongside us, as I said earlier on in our prayer time. He walks alongside us in our difficult times. And he says, follow me. Walk where I'm walking. He does call us to switch off the TV idol, and that is an idol, and quieten down and read your Bible for an hour or two. Pray. Just be present with the Lord in the quietness, as we experienced here just for a few moments during our prayer time together. There was that quietness here, wasn't there? There was a stillness. The very presence of the Holy Spirit was very apparent. And some of you, and I hope many of you, were touched by that. Switch off the TV idol and go to a quiet place and be present with the Lord. When you see the plight of the homeless and we put up this call for the coldest night of the year, pray about that, think about that, and act on it. Do the obey part. Say, yeah, I'd like to be part of that. I'll make the effort this year. And when you know that there's a Bible study going on, or a study group going on in the church, turn off the idol of the comfort of home just for that few hours and come and join that group that's meeting, that's praying together. See, the idol of personal pleasure or rest for the evening or an extra hour in bed on Sunday morning prevents us from fellowshipping and studying and prayer. We have to make the choice. We have to make real hard choices. They're hard at the beginning, but once you realize how blessed you are by our Sunday morning fellowship, our Wednesday evening fellowship, it's a blessing. You go home, yes, it's a little bit later, but you go home feeling blessed and uplifted and encouraged by the conversation and the discussion. So Paul's instruction then to the Corinthian believers is to look at the way we were before we were redeemed, and then leave those patterns of life behind and join the new team. The image in today's text was the idea of tables of demons and tables of the Lord. One offers pleasures and fulfillment and joy and happiness, but it doesn't deliver. That pursuit of those human pleasures doesn't deliver what they advertise. The other, which is obedience to the leading of the Lord, does offer us peace, a peace that passes all understanding. When we fully enter into a life with the Lord, it gives us a joy that can never be taken away. And it's a life journey, it's a day-by-day life journey that brings a deep, deep sense of satisfaction. Satisfaction of knowing I'm living the right way. I've given up the way of the past, my attitudes of the past, and now I'm totally sold out to, totally consumed by the Lord. And that's where I want to live. See, if we're to be imitators of God, if we're to be the light of the world, if we're to be the salt, as Jesus called us to be, the salt and the light, we must eat from the Lord's table and consume the wisdom, the guidance, the joy, the peace, and the eternal security. And we must reject the way of the world, because that's the table of demons. As the world's way and the Lord's way, we cannot nibble at each table. It has to be very, very clear in your mind. And you have to go before the Lord yourself and say, Lord, I cannot. Help me. Because we cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own strength. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us that we can live each day in the Lord's will. And we can't do it alone. We do it with each other. We do it by coming alongside one another, giving each other a little hug, a little shoulder punch, if you like, and saying, how's it going? Is this something I can pray for you for? How's life at home? Can we pray together on that? It's the fellowship of the believers, the fellowship of the body of Christ, building each other up, leading each other to the Lord's table and away from the ways of the world. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, it's hard to live in this world. We are being bombarded from every direction by the lure of Satan's table. Things that look innocent enough become idols for us. Temptations that we thought we could overcome, we succumb to time and time again. Our attitudes, our minds and our thoughts and even our language is being formed by the world in which we live. And Lord, we need to be transformed by the working of your Holy Spirit. Lord, our prayer today is to have your Holy Spirit descend on each one of us and change each one of us. Lord, give us a deep, deep holiness in our lives and in our homes. Lord, may husbands and wives speak gentle words to each other, caring words, uplifting words, encouraging words to each other. May parent and child speak gently to each other. And those who live alone, Lord, I pray for the comfort of friends and the fellowship of this place. Lord, make us a holy people. Lord, thank you for calling us to your table this morning. Lord, thank you that you invite us to eat from your table. You invite us to consume the body and blood of Christ, to be consumed by him from the inside out. Lord, bless our time at your table this morning, for we gather in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message themes over these past number of weeks has been one of choices. We have to be sold out to one team or the other. We can no longer be ambivalent. We can no longer have a foot in both camps. The world needs to see very clearly whose jersey you're wearing, whose team colors you have, and who you proclaim as Lord. As you leave today, leave knowing that God has called you individually and personally to a new life. It doesn't matter what's gone on in the past. What happened yesterday, God has thrown into the depths of the sea. He has forgiven everything, and he calls you to new life. So go with joy, go with a bounce in your step, go with a certain happiness and blessedness that the Lord goes with you. Go in peace. Amen.